weed. Welcome back. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated island chained nation of New Zealand, where, you know, I think that New Zealand is much like America in the fact that we've got this in fact, frack, it's the whole world now, isn't it? This is the reason why Canadian Dean Clifford, American Suzanne Posel, and New Zealander Vinnie Eastwood get along. Because we've all got the exact same frickin' problem with our country, isn't it?
We're sick and tired.
The whole country is full of brainwashed morons, unhealthy people, psychotic scumbags at the top, unjust taxes, criminal courts and police. Am I missing something? Of course I'm missing something, because it'd be impossible to list everything that's wrong with our countries.
It's one of those moments where you try to list a couple of positive things instead. Say, well, what's going right now? Because we don't have the paper or the memory on our computer hard drive to list all the bad stuff that's going wrong right now.
There is not enough memory on the internet to list how bad things are.
That's actually a valid point. That's probably why it keeps growing with bad stuff.
Yeah. And misinformation and disinformation and so on and so forth. It's freaking unbelievable. And, it's coming to the point where I'm starting to realize myself that I'm a hypocrite, you know, because although I'm starting to very, very slowly get rid of the bad things out of my life, like I gave up fast food about a month ago, never felt better. I gave up all fast food. I will not, under any circumstances, go to any American GMO freaking soft kill bioweapon manufacture plant. All right, I'm not doing it ever again. Like ever, even if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm drunk and I need something to eat and nothing else is open. I would prefer to starve. All right, that's how much I really hate the idea of fast food right now. But you know, we all do it. And we feel guilty about it, and maybe we freaking should, because the guilt is something that motivates you to stop doing what you're doing. And in the last month, not only have I given up fast food, I've basically all but completely stopped smoking. And you know, I've got myself really together. I'm getting a hell of a lot more work done. I've been set back somewhat by my Facebook incident, but you know. It's a process. That's the thing. Rome wasn't built in a day, but it certainly can be destroyed in one. But here's the other thing. We all have something, like vices and so on and so forth. At the moment, the vice that I'm leaning on quite considerably is coffee. I tried stopping coffee. You know, cigarettes, no problem. Weed, no problem. Easy to give up. Coffee, mate. I tried stopping drinking it for a week. I couldn't do anything for that entire week. I was drinking 4 liters of water a day, trying to flush my system out of it.
Worse. Don't do that.
Really? Is that worse?
It's worse. Yeah, that's probably why your body wanted coffee again, because you're drinking so much water. We're going to talk about that, because you just officially stopped drinking coffee again, because that's absolutely awful for your shrine, your body. It's I'm done myself. You're talking to a fellow coffee addict for years and years and years and years and years, tried giving it up any number of times, was always back on it within a matter of a week or two. I've officially been done for several months now, and now the actual thought of a cup of coffee makes me sick to the point where I think I'm going to be nauseous just thinking about it.
Well, how did you give it up then?
Substituted, and actually, as soon as you started eating right, I found that my when I took health serious to the point of being extreme about it, and basically just purged my body of all the toxins that were in it, you find you no longer crave coffee anymore. I found a suitable replacement for it, which is basically every morning now I heat up some water, but only just slightly hotter than what tap water would be. And I've got a very, very large coffee mug that I squeeze one whole lemon into, and then I put a whole heaping teaspoon of unpasteurized natural honey from a local farmer into the cup, dump the hot water into it, and drink that. And not only is it detoxifying, it wakes you up in the morning, gives you all the friggin' the really good salts and everything you need in your body. You just feel fantastic. It's a great way to get the day going. The honey's got all sorts of energy boosts in it and whatnot. You naturally feel energy boosted and fantastic, and the thought of coffee will make you sick within 1 week, I guarantee you.
Lemon and honey, you know.
Lemon and honey. People, isn't that interesting?
People have been doing that for years.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, here's a quick fix for you there. I'll start that, I guess, after the show, once I finish this cup in front of me.
Yeah. I mean, didn't our parents used to, our grandparents try to give us that when we were sick when we were kids? Well, here, have some lemon and honey in some hot water.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel better when you're sick, what'll it do when you're already feeling good?
Guess it'll make you healthy.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Coffee, caffeine, bad, 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 bad. Everybody out there, if you're drinking coffee, you are part of the problem. Your worst enemy is in your mirror first thing in the morning when you're brushing your teeth. Nobody else is screwing your life up more than you are. Quit blaming the government and the bankers.
You know, this is actually quite something that'll offend people, don't you reckon?
Because I hope so.
You know, this is actually a good thing, because even I'm getting offended. I'm getting offended because I know that it's true and I don't have any excuses that I can throw out there, you know? It's like, oh my God, I am my own worst enemy. I am a big freaking problem, aren't I?
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, and there's no freaking escaping it.
Yep. Man, if people knew how much coffee... coffee's like what, the world's number one commodity right now, and it's completely controlled by the banksters. Completely. They make so much money off your coffee consumption that it violates my second rule, because after my health, it's what am I doing to the world, and I'm funding criminals. So it doesn't meet any of my top two checklists. So that's part of the divestment plan that I got going on right now to bring these guys down, is I divest from their system. I don't fund them anymore. If I even think it's going to fund them, I don't do it.
You know, I absolutely love this, because we're always talking about what they're doing and how egregious it is, and enough people are not realizing and telling people that simply your compliance, whether it's nonchalant, whether it's you're participating in it, your compliance and everything that's going on and all this around you is the problem. If we all just stopped, they wouldn't be able to do half the things that they're doing. And we would probably have the ability to take care of the other half, eventually, at least. But if we just stop, like you're saying, I'm not going to do anything that violates these rules. This is what is acceptable for me. This is what I'm worth. And I'm taking this power. I'm taking it back. It's mine to begin with. I handed it off to you. I'm sorry I was so stupid for so long, but I'm taking it back now, and I'm starting today. And here are the things that I'm going to change in my life. And I don't care what you say. This is wrong, and I don't want to participate in it. And the more that we participate less, and the more people who stop participating, I mean, this is just this is a snowball. This is like contagious. This would be wonderful.
Yep. And when you stick to it, you start being a man of principle, and you stop being a consumer whore.
Absolutely. And then what are they going to do? You know, people say, oh, you have to vote, because then if you don't vote, then your vote doesn't count. Your vote never counted to begin with. So how about next presidential election, or next election at all? But the presidential is the one that gets the most national coverage. So let's take that one. The next presidential election, just stay home, everybody. Everybody just stay home. How are they going to fake that?
Well, most of the people just stay home anyway, Suzanne.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's the next step of this problem, and that's actually my biggest thing that I force people on, and I force them, literally. I tell people, don't even join my forum until you've done this one thing. I tell many people that I will not even speak law to you until you've done this one thing. My last appearance in Angela Stark's radio show, I told the people that still do this one thing to just turn off the radio and don't even bother tuning in that night. There's no point in speaking to you. There's no point in me even wasting my breath on you if you still do this. And that's if you haven't canceled your cable package yet. If you still have cable TV, I won't even speak to you. You're not worth my time. Because number one, you're funding all this nonsense. And number two, whatever I tell you, you're going to go home and fill your head with puke again, which means that I just wasted whatever time of my life I just spent with you. And so that's insulting to me, which means I don't spend a second of my life on you if you still have cable TV. Watch cable TV or you're interested in cable TV.
Well, what I gave
interesting
it up.
Is I think, yeah, in the first year of doing radio in 2010, there was a report came out, I think it might have been out of Associated Press or Reuters, that 30 or 40 million Americans canceled their cable that year. And it was like, out of nowhere, it went from like about 1 million people or 2 million people canceling their cable the year previous to like 30 or 40 million or something.
Yep. You know, one of the ladies helping us now with our forum stuff and doing some video editing, she's starting to translate a lot of my stuff into Spanish now for the Spanish people on the planet. She just finally got out of her cable package. She's been waiting 2 months now for it to be able to finally cancel the contract. And she finally canceled it the other day when it was up. And the guy on the end of the phone, and she posted about this on Facebook, actually started begging her, like, well, why don't you want to renew? Well, I don't want my cable anymore. Well, why not? What do you mean you don't want TV anymore? And he ended up offering her free cable. Free. No payments. Free. We will give you free cable if you don't terminate your contract. You won't owe us a dime. Just please keep your cable TV. And obviously she still said no. It's not even about money anymore. It's principles. It's the fact that why even have it anymore, right? And for the people that tell me, oh, well, I have to because of my kids. What do you mean I have to because of my kids? You should have to get rid of it because of your kids. Well, yeah, but they bitch and complain and scream and cry. Smack them. Smack them. Go buy a steel-toed boot and kick them so hard in their asses that your boot comes out of their nostrils and tell them to shut their mouths. Be a parent for once. Don't be their friends. Don't ruin their lives by letting them sit like zombies in front of a TV. If anything, you should be canceling it because of them, not keeping it because of them. It's the worst thing ever when you go to somebody's house and there's six TVs and six different rooms and six gaming systems and most of the family members have forgotten each other's names. Holy frick.
Oh, yeah. That's bad, man. Have you ever woken up one morning and you think, oh, my God, am I living in a global sort of flash mob of a impression of a bad sci-fi movie?
You know what, Vinny, I think we spoke about this last time. There was a couple of years before this really started to catch on where I used to wake up in the morning and I thought I might be crazy.
The reason why you're still sane, Dean.
I used to have to call some of the people in my little circle of friends that were big in the law movement and just say, am I crazy? Like, am I the only one that sees this?
I asked my brother that one time in a car a couple of years back. And I said, bro, do you think I'm... crazy for doing all this, 9/11 was an inside job stuff and exposing the fluoride and the alternative media and so on and so forth? And he goes, nah, I just think you need to grow up.
Oh, zing.
And he was Yikes. Right. And I did grow up and I got better at what I'm doing. And now he actually listens to me when I speak about this kind of stuff and doesn't call me and doesn't think that I'm immature or anything anymore because he's I actually have developed a lot since that time.
Yeah, we're crazy for telling people to go and start playing with their kids instead of buying them a gaming system and telling them to shut up and I don't want to see you until tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Is humanity going through this kind of this period of intellectual puberty, you know? Like you're suddenly growing up, oh, I'm becoming a man, I'm becoming a thinker.
Ah, boy, I don't know. I don't think there's ever been a period in human history where we've treated our own family and our own friends with such disrespect and contempt. I think we're actually at a low point in human civilization.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's ironic, though, isn't it? Is we've got all these modern conveniences and technology. We've got the ability to do these amazing, incredible things with science and the development of spirituality and stuff like that, and people having well-documented psychic powers in places and all of this other kind of stuff. Yet, the vast majority of people share these experiences. And this was an argument that I was having with a feminist the other day. She was just saying, you know, feminism's good, you know, and I've got three kids and I've still got my husband and we've gone through all of this. My kids are going to like Columbia University on scholarship and so on and so forth. Feminism's good. And I just say to her, look, You can't debunk an entire argument by using your personal experience as the only method of debunking, okay? So if something affects everybody, then you have to have a look at everybody's experience, don't you? And overall, it's something completely different to what your experience is. And that's what people forget. They think that their own subjective experience is the truth. And it's, in general, it's not that case.
What's the theory behind feminism again? I think I'm 100% equal to you, and I have the special rights to prove it.
I thought it was men. What is this? It's okay. CIA funded a women's lib magazine, and it's an admitted document, mainstream media. Rockefeller Foundation funded the women's lib movement, admitted, yep. Documented, mainstream media. And so, incidentally, you wind up having two. You could previously only tax half the population because only half the population was working. Now you get to tax 100% of the population and borrow against all their slave taxes to the international banksters.
Don't forget the best part, Vinny, because now the government has your kids much earlier in life when they're still in their formative years. Instead of being looked after at home by a good housewife, now they're in daycare and schools where they're being educated by rapists, child molesters, and every other absolutely despicable lowlife in society you could possibly imagine. Like TSA agents.
Yeah. And also the other element was, I was saying to this woman, okay, so you think feminism's good and you think you're free. Okay, two questions. Do your kids get indoctrinated 6+ hours a day in a state brainwashing institution? And do you pay taxes that you never volunteered to pay, that you don't have a choice in paying?
Yeah, they're much better off now.
If the answer to both of those questions is yes, then both you and your children are a slave. No matter what rationalization you have, you're a slave. Just admit it, get over it, start fighting to become free. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. The Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can listen in live 5 till 7 Central Time, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. GMT, and 10 a.m. through midday New Zealand time until such time as we come to like September 30th, in which case it goes to 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. So you can not quite listen to it on your lunch break. And my very special guests are Dean Clifford and Suzanne Posel. Now, Dean, you wanted to get into solutions this last couple of segments, didn't you?
Yeah, we might as well get there. I mean, we all know things are bad. There we go, network. We all know things are bad. We know what's bad. We know we've identified most of the problems. My specialty comes more in the law movement, except I found that you got to be well-rounded in your solutions. It's not just one thing. It's a combination of just making your entire life better, getting into the health stuff and everything. But I know you want to talk about a couple of my incidents going back to even spring now. I'm not sure who's aware of my background, but I've been a bit of a freedom fighter for a very long time now. I'm for people that think that death and taxes are the only two things that are certain in life, I can tell you right now that I'm working on death. And the other one is already a thing of the past. 17 years out of filing or paying income taxes. I don't hear from the taxing authorities anymore. I drive without a driver's license. I don't insure my trucks. I don't get anything from the state that I'm not obligated to get in life. I'm very well informed on my rights. I'm even better at practice it, enforcing them. And that's what one of the things we're trying to help people right now in the law movement is when they want to start protesting and they want to start getting involved and making their life better and fighting, quotation marks, the man, people need to realize that they have to correct their status first and get out of the whole corporate citizenship existence that they're in right now, because they don't have any rights. And that's why you have free speech zones, and that's why you don't have the right to free speech, you don't have the right to protest, you don't have all these rights you're supposed to have that are supposed to be fundamentally protected international rights in all the covenants and human rights declarations. For some reason, we don't seem to have those. and we don't have access to them. And people can read up more on this on my website. If you want to go and start learning about your rights, watch my videos. Just look me up on YouTube. They're all over the place. Go to deanclifford.info, start researching. We got the videos coming up there soon here on the conferences I teach. But we have to learn our rights, and we have to start standing up for ourselves first and foremost. Down in the United States, it's now becoming illegal to grow organic food in your own garden, right? So it's very important that people actually learn their rights and learn how to correct this, we'll call it a misinterpretation of what their rights are, and get rid of this whole belief in a civic duty or a social contract, and start to go back to being able to live your life free of the government altogether.
Now, I tried looking for that for a social contract. I couldn't find one that I'd signed.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well, it's inferred. It's a different type. It's a quasi contract when you sign up for your social insurance number down in the United States, or your social security number, I should say, social insurance number in Canada. I'm sure it's something else in New Zealand. It's something else in Australia. But it's the same scam over and over and over again, and it has to do with the legal person. So I corrected that all years ago, and it's been a long process, and I'm trying to teach it to people now. But just as early as this spring, I just spent 26 days in jail in February, 16 of which were in solitary confinement due to my political beliefs, which is supposed to be another internationally banned practice. But I know you were interested in this, Vinny, but I got pulled over by a cop who didn't like something I was doing. I'm really not sure what it was. In the winter up here in Canada, I think the tail end of my truck swung around when I was going around a corner, because we drive on ice 6 months of the year up here. So he pulled me over and then tried to arrest me for not having a driver's license, because I told him I don't have one. I don't require him one. And when he tried placing me under arrest, I placed him under arrest for assaulting me and breaching the peace. And then that got into a very physical altercation where I ended up throwing him around the parking lot for about 5 minutes before his backup got there. But I spent 26 days in jail. They had me up on 11 criminal charges, including assaulting a peace officer, resisting arrest, you name it. It was getting interesting there for a while, and they couldn't bluff me. They couldn't bullshit me. They couldn't get me to believe any of their nonsense. I know my rights. And 26 days later, they had to let me out of solitary confinement that same day, a free man with no charges against me. All 11. So 11 charges gone.
How many days did you spend in solitary confinement exactly?
16 days in solitary confinement.
All right. See, that's the interesting thing. And I believe this is a point that a couple of listeners brought up with me. You know, what happens to people who know their rights and know their freedoms? Well, you get chucked in solitary confinement with no yes. charges or anything to stick on you for 16 days, you know? And it's like, it doesn't matter if you know your rights to a large degree, because they don't care. In fact, I had this... Not to disparage you or anything. I mean, like, what you do is very, very effective. And they do actually to a large degree, but it doesn't change the fact that they're tyrannical scumbags who just do stuff that's illegal.
They're still
going
to try to bluff you and bully you into abandoning your position, into abandoning your claim. Like, let's see if this guy really wants to stand up for himself. They're going to see if you really believe it or not. And if you don't and you cave, they're going to make you wish you had never, ever tried to assert your rights. Because whatever, you're going to get it tenfold now.
Well, I was speaking to Grace Hayden, she's a 15-year prosecuting sergeant for the New Zealand Police, and she says, what rights? You've only got three rights: put up, shut up, or pay up. They're the only three rights that are actually really guaranteed to you. Everything else you have to fight for.
That's exactly right. You actually, rights, which a better word for them would be freedoms. You only have the rights and freedoms that you're willing to fight for, to defend. That's it. Nothing is guaranteed to you. The rest you have to fight for. It means you have to know it, you have to stand up for it, and you have to not let people push you around and not be scared of them. Oh, they threw me in solitary confinement for 16 days. Oh, no. I didn't care. I sat there, I read a book, I didn't say a word for 16 days. They started feeling bad for me. Some of the guards were coming around to talk to me to see if I wanted somebody to speak to. I told them to leave me alone. I was busy. You got to turn everything into a win, and you got to let them know you're not afraid of them. Okay, well, that's all you got, throwing me in solitary confinement for exercising my rights. Like, it's people shouldn't fear going to jail. It's almost like these days, if you're going to jail, you've done something right. That's actually like almost like a compliment.
Mm, Well, I think it's like when you put yourself out there and you become an example to others, it's I think it was like when David Icke was here in Auckland a couple of years back. I wanted to say something to him. I never got the chance, but I said, you know, the reason why people like you so much, David, is because you make them see what's best in themselves. And it's the same with you, Dean, is that that's the reason why people follow you and like you, is because you actually do what other people wish they could do but didn't have the bravery to do it until they saw you doing it.
And that's what I love. I just want people to have the, if it takes me doing it to give people the courage to do it themselves, that's fine. I don't mind being that guy. But I'll tell you, I've had lots of people say, oh yeah, you really won, eh? You still had to spend 26 days in jail. I said, yeah, you know what? Big deal. I had to spend 26 days in jail. You're in jail every day for the rest of your life. Your mind is in jail. Your life is a jail. I had to spend 26 days in jail. When I got out, believe me, I was a free man because I went right back to driving with no license, not paying income taxes, not listening to the government, and doing whatever I want. And I'll spend my life in jail for one day of that kind of freedom.
Hey, how long would it take you? Like, let's say you were paying taxes and you spent 26 days working or something like that and paying taxes, versus the entire time that you've been free, not paying taxes. Technically, just on a monetary basis, it's actually worth it.
Way more worth it. Yep, good. Hey, I'll go to jail for a month every year and leave my paycheck alone. Everybody'd be better off tomorrow. Because right now you work for the government 5.5 months a year. Everybody on this planet who files and pays income taxes is in jail for 5.5 months a year. And they laugh at me because I had to go to solitary confinement to stand up for myself.
Yeah, whereas everything's like... What's the opposite of the word solitary? Multiplary? Constabulary?
I don't even know.
Everybody else is like in the opposite of solitary confinement. They're like individually confined, isn't that right?
They're slaves. Completely,
yeah. They're slaves, and they're completely detached from reality, completely detached from all of the people around them. Have you noticed that? That people don't even care about each other anymore, and they actually like to see people like you go to jail, Dean.
People rejoice in the suffering of their fellow man today. That's how depraved we have become morally as a people. We actually rejoice and celebrate in seeing our fellow man suffer, especially somebody that has it coming to them for attempting to be free. I was actually going to comment on that earlier. I was just reading through. I've just been in a bunch of newspapers here recently in Canada. I was supposed to be doing an interview with somebody, with a reporter from the Toronto Star right away, if we can ever hook up. But I'm reading the comments from the story that they did publish, and it mentioned me, and it had the website up there, and it was an interview with another gentleman up here by the name of Brian Alexander. And we're reading the comments in the National Post, and the comments there are, people are actually advocating or saying that they would gladly pay their taxes, knowing that it's hiring police to come out and beat and throw people like us in jail. They're glad to pay their taxes, knowing it's going to pay for police officers who are going to come and beat us and throw us in jail. Apparently, that's what makes them happy in life. I'm glad to pay taxes for that reason. How morally depraved do you have to be to even make a comment like that? Never mind actually believe it, because this guy really did believe it. And that he wasn't the only one saying stuff like that. No license? Cuff him and throw him in jail for 2 months. That'll make him rethink things. That was another comment on there. I have a video coming out right away where I read some of these comments off, and then I have my reply to it. And that video is going to be going out sometime soon, hopefully in the near future. And that just shows you the mentality of it's almost like the government's not the problem. We have to worry more about the people that are actually supporting what the government's doing.
I have a saying that I'm now rethinking. You have nothing to fear from people who know nothing. Actually, it's the people who know nothing that you should be most deathly afraid of.
You have the most to fear from people who know nothing.
Yeah.
There's no question, because these people will die protecting the system that they think actually does them some form of benefit, which actually enslaves them. They will beg for their own enslavement. Wasn't that an actual quote? They will beg for their own enslavement?
I don't...
That was a Rothschild quote.
Competition is a sin?
Yep, that's another one of his quotes. Yep. Oh, like, yeah. No, there's a lot of gooders out there. But there's a lot of simple solutions out there that we should probably talk about. But people should have hope that this stuff works. It works, believe me. I got arrested again, by the way. I'll just throw this in here real quick before break. Within the last month and a half. And I am getting remedy, by the way. I'll just let people know that. That 26 days in jail, in solitary especially, was the most productive use of my time I've ever had in my life. That's going to fund my retirement and every project to ever come into my life to try to make this world a better place. So, but I got arrested again about 6 weeks ago, maybe close to 2 months ago now. Another cop pulled me over. Apparently, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt properly. Apparently, there's a proper way to wear it, and I wasn't doing that. So being the free people that we are, I got pulled over for that. And when he asked me for a driver's license, I said, dude, I'm a non-resident. I don't have one of those. I'm not required to have one, which turned into a shouting match where he was yelling and screaming at me like a little baby. Then he tried to grab me and arrest me, which turned into yet another physical altercation where I ended up getting into it physically with another cop and defending myself from an unlawful arrest. This one resulted in 8 cop cars and 13 police officers and what you would think looked like a terrorist scenario in the mini strip mall that I was in. We had roads being blocked off and, oh my God, it was unbelievable. All over a seatbelt incident, I might add. This led to me going straight to solitary confinement upon this arrest. I now found out there's a mandate at the local prison to throw me directly in solitary confinement due to my political beliefs, which is a violation of the International Covenants on Human Rights, by the way. But either way, that resulted in me being in jail 4 days this time. And first thing Monday morning, the Crown was completely unopposed to my immediate release without bail on my own recognizance to show up at the next hearing, which I never did anyways. But this is, I think, the fifth time now, fifth or sixth, I've been charged with resisting arrest, assaulting a peace officer, each one of those individually, by the way, 5 counts each. Every time I do this, I'm spending less time in prison. If everything I'm trying to teach people is wrong, don't you think the sliding scale would go the other way?
Hey, you know, eventually you won't get arrested anymore.
Well, that's the hope. That's the hope. So, but one thing that people have to remember, you can't stop sticking up for yourself. Like, oh, that didn't work. I'll just play ball this time because I'm scared of spending a week or two in prison. That's the only power they have over you. Your fear of going to prison for a couple of weeks. That's it. What other fear do you possibly have? What are they going to do? Are they going to throw 7 billion people in jail if everybody stops complying tomorrow?
Yeah, they can't. But the thing is, 7 billion people aren't going to stop complying tomorrow.
That's the problem.
What they do is it's targeted, and it's political persecution in its purest form, is it not?
Oh, there's no question, but they know they can get away with it because, again, we spoke earlier about people being ignorant, uneducated to the point of being incompetent to run their daily affairs. Now you want people to be able to find remedy and recourse in the legal system? And you can't use a lawyer to do this, by the way, because if you use a lawyer, you have no rights at all.
Yeah.
Because lawyers, hiring a lawyer reduces your status to something that is not afforded any of the rights you could possibly call on to receive remedy in those courts.
Indeed. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Dean Clifford and Suzanne Posel, the very, very quiet as a mouse in the background in the house. Right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Jimi Hendrix wrote that song for Dean Clifford back in the 60s. There must be some kind of way out of here by not admitting that I don't have any freaking rights and bins in solitary confinement.
Yep.
And, okay. I'm sorry. I'm acting a little bit silly. You got to be a bit silly in this day and age, don't you, Dean?
If you can't have a laugh at this shit, then you're doing it wrong.
Also, we got to mind the swearing on this podcast. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, Dean's a contractor. Okay, you've got to give him some some leeway here.
I've been better. You probably, I know, I think you might have probably heard a few of my other broadcasts we do on other stations where they're not they don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, and it gets a little bit more entertaining. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, final segment. What we're gonna do?
What are we gonna do about it? Education, number one, Americans especially, because that's probably most of the listeners here. I'm really not too sure, but this goes for every nation on this planet. And I say nation, not country. Nations are non-geographically based political affiliations. People keep confusing the country that they live in with the nation. Nations are what the United States is trying to bring to the world right now, these corporate democracies where you have a corporate person. Your legal person who is registered to vote in a democracy. And the minute you do that, you consent to be recognized in a legal jurisdiction that strips you of every single right you have that you inherited in the family of mankind. You have no rights. It flips you. It takes you out of common law jurisdiction or the jurisdiction where your rights are something that you're born with. Your freedoms are something that are inherent. They're part of you. They can't be abridged or abrogated from you, and you register into this democracy, which is a corporate jurisdiction where all of your rights are granted to you as privileges by the government, and they can be taken from you at will without notice to you. That's what you do when you register to vote in a democracy. And we were just talking about that on break. The United States was not founded as a democracy. It was a republic. A republic is the antithesis to a democracy. It is the exact opposite. So shortly after the Republic was created, this corporate lookalike came along, which I believe the exact date was 1871, which was when the Congress adjourned sine die forever. And they created a new corporate democracy underneath the Congress and then got everybody to register into this new jurisdiction underneath the Congress that stripped them of all their rights. And the real American government's not there anymore. It doesn't exist. It's there, but no one's really manning the post. Now you got this new lookalike, this fake corporate democracy where they've tricked everybody and fooled everybody into joining this. This has spread around the world, and that's why they're trying to bring democracy to the world. They're trying to bring the same nation statehood as what the United States enjoys right now, where the government can get away with murder, literally, and no one can do anything about it. Because as long as you're in that system, you have no rights. You're a slave. This is the same in Canada. This is the same everywhere. We just had people, I did an interview recently from Croatia. It's the same thing now in Croatia. And the same things that I'm teaching here in Canada worked slam dunk for a guy in Croatia. These guys wanted to build a one world system. They did it. And all the great thing about that is now that the same solutions now work everywhere, which means once you find the Achilles heel in a worldwide network, you just found the way to bring the entire thing down. So homogenous is not always such a good thing. So that's what's going on in the world. People have to wake up and realize that. Unfortunately, all these flag-waving Americans that blinded by patriotic beliefs that they live in this republic where they have all these unalienable rights. No, you have no rights. You're a 14th Amendment citizen with no rights. You have privileges the government can strip from you at will without notice to you. You're a slave. Get over it. Realize it. Start to do something about it. And that's why we're teaching people how to deregister, how to renegotiate their terms of how they're viewed or recognized by the government, starting to enforce their claims of their rights and force the government to recognize who they are and what their rights really are. And that flips things around back to the way it was supposed to be when they are a republic and you are above the government. The government is your slave. They are your servant, because right now it's the other way around. So on top of that,
I was thinking that parliamentarians would actually have to wear some kind of a uniform, like a black and white stripy jumpsuit, and wear some kind of a ball and chain just to identify that they are slaves to the people.
Yes,
while they're in government.
Yes. Yeah, they started calling themselves really fancy names instead of public servants, which they really are. Now they're all sorts of really neat things like ministers and officials. Oh, they're officials. Well, I'm an official, so everything I do is official. No, dude, you're a servant. Now, go pick up my dog poop and clean my dishes because I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Right? And it really is that powerful because, like, it's working for me just fine. So I can tell you that already. But the solutions don't just end there. We've talked about this tonight. It's something that I'm calling recently divestment. It even started as just a random post I made on Facebook recently where I was talking about divesting from their system. And that means basically, except for literally food and necessities, I want people to stop shopping, stop buying, stop consuming, stop everything. Stop everything that is a revenue source for these people. All forms of taxation that are attached to everything you're purchasing. And you know what? It turns out it actually does wonders for your health while you're at it too. Because when you go to the grocery store, if you can't find a farmer's market to buy fresh fruit, and even at the grocery stores, necessities like fruit and vegetables raw are about the only things that aren't taxed, which means you can buy those all day long and you're not supporting their system. If you're buying anything out of a box in a grocery store, you might as well eat the box when it comes to nutrition. Because everything in that box is going to be GMO, full of preservatives, and full of stuff that is going to make your body cancerous and toxic and is going to kill you. And you're paying taxes to the people that are trying to kill you in the process. So again, look in the mirror. You are the problem. These people would not be able to do anything that they're doing if you didn't buy everything that they're trying to sell you and support their entire system. So eat better, shop better, stop spending unless you have to. All these people that are broke, why are you broke? Look at the stupid crap you buy every day. Your home is full of garbage. TVs, gaming systems, electronics that you don't need. Expensive food. It actually turned out to be cheaper when I switched to eating nothing but fresh, raw, organic foods. Okay? Everything got cheaper. My health improved. People don't consider the long-term costs of eating fast food. How many months and years are you going to spend in the hospital later in life? Because you're eating terribly. How much money is an operation going to cost you? Factor that into your eating habits, and you're going to find out that fruits and vegetables are cheaper at the till, and they're cheaper long term.
Also, think about even just the current things that are doing to you. What's your loss in productivity and your reduced thinking and learning capacity by eating fast foods? It hits you freaking instantly.
Yep. Here's some proof for you. I always like to do the things that I speak of. So my brother came back with me to Manitoba from Alberta, where he lives, a couple months ago to do construction work with me. And just to prove a point, we decided that we are going to do nothing but live on oranges, literally. And we do heavy construction work. We do a lot of physical labor. And I find that I'm far more productive, far stronger, and I don't have to stop. I don't get tired. When I do nothing but eat 7 or 8 large tangerine or navel oranges in a day. For lunch, we'll have 3 oranges. Then for a break, we'll have an orange. Then for dinner, we'll have 2 oranges. Okay. Not only do we feel fantastic and we can work all day and not even have to drink water. We didn't get thirsty working in the sun and in the heat. Our bodies were just running properly now. We didn't have to drink water even. But the first how much weight did you lose? My brother is now down 24 pounds in 3 weeks. Okay. Yeah, it was there. So it didn't take long. He's not a fat guy, but he's just a bigger guy. Lots of muscle as well, but he's just leaning right up and feels fantastic, and we can work all day. I stopped yawning during the day when I started eating nothing but fruits. Okay, when I got rid of the coffee, I used to yawn all day when I was on coffee. Now when I get up in the morning, I have that lemon tea, Vinny, and then the rest of the day I have nothing but oranges and maybe a couple of bananas. I don't yawn. I don't sit down. I don't get tired. I don't need to drink water. I don't feel hungry ever. How much does 7 oranges cost you? $2?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was a study that just came out in New Zealand. Oh, well, not just came out. This was like five years ago. There's a place where we grow our oranges, like the equivalent of the New Zealand, Florida. You know, it's called Kerikeri. Kerikeri oranges, you know, it's famous in this country.
Nice.
And they tested them to see how much vitamin C was in them. Nothing. There wasn't a skerrick of vitamin C left in these oranges because they've been growing these groves for so damn long and artificially fertilizing them and not putting any proper nutrients into the soil that there is no nutrition left in the friggin' oranges.
Yep, probably not. Now, Now, and people have actually said that to me. They, well, you know, there's no point eating the, you know, the bananas are GMO now. They're not. They're actually just a product of breeding the plants the way the current banana is. And same with oranges. But here's the problem. We have to eat something. Okay, we can't. I'm from Canada. I can't eat garden vegetables year round. So I will eat an orange that is severely reduced in nutrition because it's not being grown the way it should be properly and organically. Well ahead of a pizza or something in a box out of a grocery store. At least the orange is still natural. And if it's even a fraction as nutritious as what a proper orange should be, then I'm still better off. Yeah, and now indeed. I'm not... So it's much better anyways. So
now, do you have a website, Dean, that people can go to?
Absolutely, deanclifford.info. And I'm just starting to get into it a lot more now, too. So it's deanclifford.info. And we're really starting to ramp things up around there. It's been a side project for a while now. It's been mostly volunteer labor. We all work for a living, and we don't really have the financing to do this full time. So we do it in our spare time, but we're putting a lot more time and effort into it now to really make information available to people. And we're also doing something else. And I don't know, you might have to go to break or stop here pretty soon, but I'll just get this blurb out here real quick. One of the things we're trying to promote lately, and they can come to the site and read all about it. Oh, geez. I don't know. It needs more than 10 seconds.
All right. Well, we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. DeanClifford.info. Catch you later. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Suzanne. And OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com.